In this Lenten season, if you get your little slips of paper, it says that we are the hearts and the hands of Jesus. And today we get to see an example of that, and we get to see examples of how our congregation became the heart and the hands for Jesus. I want to read a short time before I turn it over to the group so I don't take up the entire time. From Matthew 25, it's a scene from the Great Judgment, and it's the Jesus serving as king. In verse 34 says this, "Then the king will say to those on the right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' The righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or when were you a stranger and we invited you in, or needing clothes and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for the one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" This passage points back to Isaiah 58, where Jesus in that, through Isaiah, says that we, as the people of God, need to give to those around us just in our everyday acts, just the little things that we do. That's what God is calling us to do. And that's, again, a reminder of our theme for this Lent, of how can we be the hands and feet for Jesus. Today, we hear from the team that went to Kentucky for MDS. Next week, we get to hear from some of the same people again, so hopefully you don't get too tired of them, but we'll hear from Heidi and Corey as they talk about another way that they gave and were the hands and feet for Jesus. I'm going to turn this over to Edwin right now, and he'll introduce the team.
Well, it's been a little bit since I stood up here. I'll start off by reading a verse. I think Twyla read this the morning she had her devotions down there, but it was sticking out to me earlier in the week. Me growing up in southwestern Pennsylvania, where there's a lot of mountains, the mountains are a little steeper and a little more abrupt down there in Kentucky than what I'm used to, but they're a lot the same. And Psalms 121, "I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." And that was just something kind of being down there in the mountains of Kentucky was a verse that went through my mind numerous times during our week down there. There was a group of eight of us down there. Twyla, Heidi, myself, Hans, Corey, and Joe. I think I got their names right. And Nelson. So we left last Sunday. I'll just kind of give a little bit of an overview. Some of the people are going to be talking, and we're going to be looking at some pictures. We left last Sunday morning. We drove all day pretty much. I met the group from Lancaster here in Cumberland, Maryland. I left my place in Newville and went down 81 and stopped at my uncle's in Hagerstown and picked up some tools to take along and met in Cumberland. And then we went out. On our way out through, we hit snow in Morgantown. We drove through snow. Dwayne went along with us. We drove through snow for at least 2 hours. It wasn't bad, but it was enough. The road was covered in some spots, and got down there Sunday evening. And, it was pretty much supper time when we got down there Sunday evening. Yeah. So anyways, Monday morning, we met up with, I think his name was Samuel Short was his name. And he brought some supplies over and got the ladies started painting trim in the church. I don't know if we have, they might have some pictures in the thing, but they painted the trim in the doors, and they laid plastic across the pews, and they just laid the trim out across the pews at the church down there where we were staying at. So you'll probably see some pictures of that. Myself and Dwayne and Hans and Nelson, the Souter boys, didn't get down there till Monday evening. We went down to the house, and they had drywalled and mudded, and we were sanding and finishing mudding. We started out on Monday, and we got it pretty much ready. We might have even started some painting Monday evening. And then It was cold down there. That was our problem, one of our biggest problems. They didn't have heater in their house, and the mud for the drywall really wasn't drying very fast for us because it was pretty chilly in the house in the morning. It was getting down in the 20s at night. Tuesday, we painted. I think the girls painted Tuesday at the church yet. And then on Wednesday, we went as a group to the house. We were working on one house for a couple. Micah or Michael? Michael and Norma Jean. And Norma Gail. There's so many names, I'm getting them all mixed up. But anyways, and then up the road, two or three houses, there was a small building that we were helping with that the church down there is building for a local guy in that lives in that little in that holler. I gotta call it a holler. It's not a valley. In the evenings, about every evening, either before or after supper, we went for a hike, either up the mountain or up through the hollow. We hiked up a hollow once or twice. We hiked up the mountain at least twice. Wednesday, we were working in two houses on Wednesday, both houses on Wednesday and Thursday. We had Hans and Nelson were mudding in the other house, the smaller one, while the rest of us were working in the bigger one. And anyways, by the time we left Friday evening, it was about 6 o'clock. We had the cabinets hung. We had the flooring all down. We had all the baseboard on that we could. They were missing doors for the closets, so we weren't able to do that. The doors were all hung. And so, yeah, we made pretty good progress in our week's time. So it was a very – did some stuff I haven't done in a while, but it was an enjoyable learning week for me. I'm just going to share the thing that kind of stood out to me that this week was when we got down there on Monday. We didn't see the couple that we were working on the house. We saw him in the evening, Monday evening. He's a truck driver for the state of Kentucky, or the county, either state or county. I wasn't sure which one, but he got home there, and we spoke briefly Monday evening. And then Tuesday evening, when we were leaving, they both came out of they're staying in a camper there. And they both came out, and we talked to them both a little bit. Did we invite them into the house Tuesday evening? That was Wednesday that we invited them into the house. And it was just, as the week went, they got to know us, and we became, you could tell they were warming up to us. By Wednesday, they came over, they were over at the house. And they were scared that they were going to be in our way. So we had to inform them that they were more than welcome to come over and hang out with us and talk to us. Well, anyways, by the time Friday rolled around, Thursday evening, when Mike got home, he came over into the house. That was the first evening of the week that he really went out of his way. And he come in and was talking to us and I was blessed that it meant a lot to me that as the week progressed, you could tell we were warming up to the couple, and our group seemed to connect with them. And it was, I was glad we could do that because Norma's quite the lady. She's got a very, very, very chatty and very spicy. She's got a lot of spice to go with her chat, and she likes to have a little sass back too. So we started giving her a little sass back, and she seemed to blossom on that a little bit too. So she's a very interesting lady. But yeah, no, it was I had a very, very good week. It was enjoyable, and I think there's another person or two going to speak. Nelson's next.
This was the first time that I ever went to a trip like this. So it was interesting. And years ago, My aunt and uncle lived in Kentucky, close to Crockettville. So Easter of that year, I think it was 67, 68, my aunt, my other aunt, and my other brother went down at Easter time. And then over the summer, I spent a couple months down in Kentucky. My aunt and uncle lived about 100 miles from where Twyla lived at. So it was a little different from where Twyla lived and where Crockettville is. And I had fun. I'd do the sparkling, and then before they painted, they had to clean the dust up, so I was the cleaner, which fits in because that's what I do at my full-time job. So yeah, and it was a way the storm came in, really took a lot of houses out. There's a couple houses that they're going to be forming up in Jackson, two houses, I think. So I'm ready to go again. And then on Friday I had devotions in our daily bread. You're not alone. So I figured I'm going to bring that up. Yeah, you're not alone. God's always with you.
So, as Edwin said, Joe and I, we came up on Monday, so we left Monday morning and drove it was about a 10-hour drive, a little under. And when I got there on the road, it was hard to drive through that area, just seeing all the wreckage and just the broken houses and stuff. And even just the road was washed out at places driving through. And so it was, yeah, definitely a challenge just to see all of that and just see the little that a lot of these people had and just see how it was, yeah, just destroyed by the floods and all of that. So I was, yeah, very glad that we were able to come down and help them out and just be able to, yeah, serve them in any way that we could. And so, yeah, so what I did a lot of starting out, I helped with a lot of painting. I did some mudding as well with the drywall and also, let's see, put in a lot of putty to cover up some nail holes. So I was, yeah, doing a lot of, yeah, some long tasks, and I'll be honest, sometimes I got a little bored, but it was just stopping, and if you stop and think and just realize why you're doing this, you just realize, yeah, that even if it is a little challenging or isn't necessarily something that you love doing, just stop and think, you realize that it is still worth it. And I'm, yeah, so glad that I was able to go down and help these people who really needed it.
So this was also my first MDS trip. I'd always wanted to go before, but with teaching, I never could. So now that I'm not teaching at the moment, I had availability to go. So yeah, I think kind of like Corey said, again, just driving down through, and it's beautiful down there, but then seeing all of the washed out gullies, the houses that were like, had things washed underneath or were completely moved off of their foundations. And just being in the car, like with Twyla, she was going down through and just being able to explain, like, we see different things, but she knew what it was before. So being able to see, like, okay, there was supposed to be something there and now it's completely gone, or the creek was like over here and now it's like this wide. And all of those different things was really cool. Was also a little hard. There was a couple times I tried not to look at where we were at the road because it was like right there and then it got washed out. So it was like over here, but there's also like a big like gully on the other side. So I was just like, just don't think about too much and you're good. So most of the week I did painting. Monday and Tuesday, Twyla and I were there at the church, right beside the parsonage area that we stayed at. So we like to say that we did a lot of painting and problem solving. So we would paint all the trim, the doors, the door frames, the stuff for the windows and everything. which is great, but then you have to put it somewhere, and you can't stack it after you paint it. So we would lay, like, a big piece of plastic over, like, the bend of the pews, and then lay everything out. And we got to a point where, like, we have more to paint, but we can't put it anywhere to dry. So we'd have to, like, move a bunch of stuff around, and then we had room again. And we get to another point, I'm like, hey, we have more things to paint, but we have nowhere to put them to dry. So we move things around, and we put them. So eventually, at one point, we had moved a rocking chair into one of the guys' rooms they were staying at. We had stuff up on the stage. We had stuff over the other benches. We had things leaning against the wall. We had the sawhorses up that they had to walk around because there literally was nowhere else to put it. So we did painting and problem solving. And then Tuesday, Twyla's sister, Rosie, came and helped us, and that was just a lot of fun, getting to meet her, interact with her, and also seeing Twyla, her accent kind of get a little bit stronger as the day progressed, and then the rest of the week. That was fun. But yeah, it was just fun getting to work with her, getting to work with her sister. And then it was with Twyla, we also got to talk to Norma Gale the one afternoon, went to the trailer, and that lady can talk. I think she offered us a drink, and then Twyla realized later, she's like, we never got that pop. I was looking forward to it, because next thing you know, we're talking about something else. But yeah, that was just really cool, being able to do that and just seeing the relationships that Twyla and her family had made. There was one time we went back to the house to go to the bathroom because neither of us really wanted to use the porta pot because the guys were complaining about it, and we're like, we don't want to use that. And on the way back, we saw one of the neighbors taking out the trash, and so we stopped and were talking to him for like a good 5-10 minutes or however long it was. And that was just normal. I think just about every night someone came that we sort of knew, but by the end of the night we felt a lot closer with. They were sharing stories, and just seeing Twyla's face light up and bright up every time was just really cool. So then Wednesday we came to the house, and again we did more painting, except this time was on the walls, and then learning how to cut in and doing all of that stuff. Got to use a roller for the first time, so that was fun. And then after that I did a little bit of caulking, a little bit of puttying, and a little bit of sanding, and then I went back to painting again. So my week was pretty much all painting, so I got to do all of the trim and the doors again after they went in. So I think probably one of my highlights as well was also just being in that back room on Friday. I would turn my Spotify on, some different songs that I had. Everyone else was working somewhere else in the house on top of each other, and I was kind of back in the corner by myself. And we just got to paint, listen to some worship music, and have some quiet time with God, and that was just really cool and special for me. So, yeah.
So the pictures have been going, but Dan, if you could start it at the beginning, we're just going to pause from people talking, and if you could turn out more lights, because it's pretty dark. But I put that slide in. Breathitt County, Kentucky was where we were. The median income is $29,528 in 2020, and most of us are a little above that. So that's kind of the community that we were in. So I'll let you just look at the pictures. It kind of starts from Monday on through. And then I'll keep talking. Those people were rescued out of that mobile home. And that's all sand on the side. This is the parsonage. That's the building I grew up in on the left. That's the house. It didn't quite look that way. And the church is on the right. That's the view going up the holler. That creek used to be this narrow, and now it's, looks very different. And that's the house that MDS is building. We worked with MDS, and they would check on us every day, but Dwayne was our crew leader. And that's Lindbergh's house. That's the other house that's kind of being put together by the church there and whoever can help. It's not an MDS project, but we helped on it. I got a little tired of painting too, Heidi. They had 14 people there at church last Sunday, and I'll talk about that later. That's the fellowship hall where some of us slept there, and some of the girls, and some slept in the church. I just took them with me. This was my playground growing up, and so we just went and found the old coal mines that had, in the 50s, the families that were there to keep their houses warm, they just dug coal out of the hill. Now it's all closed in. Getting ready to go to work in the mornings. That's not green hair, that's a hoodie. We painted the one room, got two coats on it, looked wonderful, of that gray, and then discovered we had painted the wrong room gray. So we had to paint another room that we had just put two coats on again. Joe was, that's my God at work, was Joe right there. That's Norma, Gail, and Mike. Dwayne put in those counters, or those, that whole kitchen wasn't there. Friday evening, we got a picture quick. So I don't know what I'll share, what you guys want to hear, but if I can get through it, it'll be. First, though, and foremost, I have a new grandson. He was he was born to my son Adrian and his wife Becca on Thursday while we were down there, and that was, she was in labor for 2 days, and I was pacing the, I did not sleep much on Wednesday night because he was born at 1:30 in the morning, and we didn't hear until then. They fell asleep and didn't let me know that the child was born. That one song that says I'll praise all night or whatever when I'm anxious, I didn't do too well on that. But I'm usually in bed and asleep by 9:30. I was up till 12:30 praying that night for deliverance for that little guy. But his name is Wesley Charles. My dad was Wesley, and Adrian's middle name is Wesley, and Chuck is Charles. That was really cool. There has to be more said about Norma Gail. She explained herself. She's a Pentecostal, and she is a strong believer. And she, when the house was studded up, she went through the house and with a Sharpie and wrote praises and verses all through her house. And she's married to Mike. And, yeah, so my dad was called to be a mission pastor in that holler, in that community. And Mom and Dad started there when they were first married in 1954, and he ministered there for 50 years. And although the church never grew much bigger than 70, the whole community loved and respected him, and he was their pastor, more or less. And now the biggest churches in the area, in that county, in that holler and the next road, are pastored by men that grew up in under my dad's Bible schools and teaching. And so it's kind of cool the way God works. I mean, they didn't know what Mennonites were and didn't trust Mennonites when they first went down there. And but anyway, God is good. And Calvin and Mary, Calvin's pastoring the church now. He was in some of those pictures. So it was great to hear Norma Gail, and she would just go on and on about the Lord and about, I was hoping she would break into some tongues before we left, but she informed us she does not handle snakes. So I've been gone from that creek. My mom left after my dad passed away, and so then we would go over to the next creek or holler to be with her, where she moved closer to my sister. So I haven't been on Bolin's Creek for that length of time for years, and that was just such a gift for me to be there with the people I grew up with and that our family ministered to, and to see them now. Norma Gail's father-in-law was my bus driver in high school. And so one of my goals, he lives, it's Robert Lee, my bus driver, then Norma Gail's house, trailer that they're building the house, Norma and Michael, and then the old home place where Robert Lee's and his brother and sisters all grew up, and they're all around there. And then Lindbergh was in his trailer, and his sister was in a little place. And so they're all right there. And I wanted to talk to Robert Lee, so I saw him out on the porch on Wednesday. And I went over, and I got a big bear hug. I wasn't expecting that, but he talked. And everybody wants to tell you their flood story. And that's a lot of what we did, was listen to people's flood stories. And but the thing that was so cool, Norma Gail told me that when my dad was dying and he was at home down the hall, they built a house then at the end of the road. Robert Lee and his wife, Mary Lou, and Mike and Norma Gale went to see him. And Dad was able to hear how Robert Lee had become a Christian. And Robert Lee was one of the teenagers that gave Dad a real rough time when he started his ministry. There was a group of about five teenage boys that, interfered a lot with the ministry. And for Dad to be able to hear that he had become a Christian and now his family's a Christian, and it was just really a cool experience. And then the next day he was on the porch again, and I went back over, and he said, "Do you want a pop, Twyla?" And I was hoping somebody would offer me a pop, because I can't say soda yet. It's not a soda, it's a pop. I said, "Yes, I'd love a pop." He said, "Come on in and sit." So I went in and sat in his living room with him and Mary Lou, who's pretty, they're 72 or 3, I think he told me. They started remembering things and talking. So that was really, he offered me a bologna sandwich, but I declined that. I was good. But that's the culture. You want to pop? Come in, sit. Can I get you something to eat? Then the neighbor that we stopped to talk with was my elementary school bus driver, Grover. So he said to me, the last thing he said was, "You'll always be a little girl in my mind." And he's 88 and his wife is 90. And their flood story, I heard, their house is down below by the creek. And he always parked his truck up a little ways. And the night of the flood, it had rained all night, and Dwayne's going to hopefully remember how much inches of rain they had in that short time. But at about 1:30, it was in people's homes, and that's when most people were saying that they were getting out. And Grover helped his 90-year-old wife, who stooped over like that, walk up to his pickup truck, and they spent the night in the pickup truck that night. And the water came to their porch but didn't come in their house. I have a list of storms, flood stories I wanted to give you. My best friend growing up, Rhonda, her son's home was totally destroyed. And at 1 o'clock in the morning, there was water in their house, and they got out with their 8-year-old and their 5-year-old children, got in the car initially, and the car was moving already. And then they got in their pickup truck and went to higher ground and spent the night. And that little 5-year-old boy today just goes into a panic when the rain starts to come. And that was one thing I didn't expect to hear about, is the PTSD kind of stuff. And Robert Lee, my bus driver, said, "I get really nervous." He knew that it was going to rain. This was Wednesday, and he knew that rain was coming on Friday. And he said, "That makes me nervous." And his sister, Betty Rose, she said, "A lot of people drive out of the holler when the rain starts to come. And if it's going to be, a heavy rain, they just leave because of the fear that they have." Billie Jean, her trailer was totally destroyed. And that night, her and her husband and their son got out and just climbed up a little bit. It didn't take them long to get up out of the flood where it was flooding, but they stood in the middle of the night against the house there. I think they took up their truck too, and they got their cars up just a little higher in the middle of the field. You just drive through and go up a little, and they saved some of their vehicles and their lives. Luther, or is somebody going to tell Lindbergh's story? I won't tell Lindbergh's story if somebody else does. Yeah, okay, Dwayne will. He rescued people, and the house right... The church has always been there, and just below the church, about a tenth of a mile, Tina had a double wide, and she was the one that CNN interviewed. I don't know if you saw her story or whatever, but she tied a rope to her kids and escaped out of the mobile home. And then she went to the church, and that's where her dad picked her up. And I just thought that was kind of an interesting twist of things, that after all these years, she came to the church for safety. And Mike and Norma Gale, of course, had their story too. They had to leave their house and twice in the middle of the night. The water came up at one, and then it rained and it stopped. So the water went back down, and they came back down out of their little barn. They had dragged out his dad and mom, who could barely walk, to their little barn, and then it was 3 o'clock in the morning or something, the water came up again, it was raining real heavy again, and they had to leave again. So that was, it was very hard to see. The first Monday evening, we drove down to the bottom of the creek, and as you know, as you go down the creek gets bigger, and the flood was more devastating. And yeah, there's a lot of work being done. Debris was piled high. There would be five, at one place there was three big piles of debris, and there was like five vehicles in each pile that they cleaned out. And yeah, even though there's a lot of work has been done, there's a lot of work to do yet. And I think of the faithfulness of the long-termers, you know, that are there, the county and the state and the government, of course, has their workers that come and go. But it's often, and it's still the Mennonites, you know, all my life, it's when you're in a tight spot, you call the Mennonites, and they'll come in and do whatever they can to help you out. And so my sister Rosie and her husband Phil, they pastor the church over the hill 10 miles from where I grew up. They working with MDS, but they live there, and they're working with MDS to try to help as many as they can and advocating for the community. And then Calvin and Mary, who pastor the church there, are every day, Mary cooks and feeds the MDS workers. That MDS is stationed about 40 minutes away from where I grew up, and they can only house about 25 or 30 people there. So there's more people that want to come than can stay there that they can cook for it at Bethel Camp. It's a nice setup for them. So instead of turning people away, Phil can't hardly do that if people want to come and help. And so they house them at their church or at Bolin's Creek, and so Rosie and Mary and some of the ladies at Phil's and Rosie's church, they cook every day. We made our own breakfast every morning. You know, we ate a dozen and a half of eggs and a pound or two of sausage and a pound of bacon and pancakes or whatever we could throw together, because I didn't want Mary to have to come 10 miles to cook for us breakfast and then come back in the evening. But the faithfulness of those guys who are there working their jobs during the day, some of them, and in the evening ministering to the people. I just pray for them when you think about it. Dwayne did a great job. Thank you, Dwayne. I don't know how MDS trusted him to be our team lead, our crew leader, but I had assured Phil that Dwayne was up to the task, and he did a great job. It was so much fun to watch this whole group communicate with Norma Gale and Michael and the different personality dynamics there. But Dwayne did a great job communicating with the homeowners, with MDS, with my brother-in-law Phil, with us. He kept us moving. We didn't stand around, but we weren't pushed. You know, we took our breaks, and we, when Norma Gale came around, somebody stopped to talk to Norma Gale. And that would take a while, and so then somebody else would step in so that person could get back to work, kind of thing, you know. But when somebody stopped in, you stopped your work to talk to them, and that's a high value of Dwayne's, I know. And so it was just good. He did a very good job. Norma Gale asked me when I visited her on Tuesday, Rosie and Heidi and I went to visit her, and she asked me for all the names of the people, and she would look at them out in the yard. Who is that person? What's their name? And she wrote them all down, and from then on, she knew almost everyone's name every day and would come over and call them by name and bring us a Reese cup or many other things that she would give to us because we were given to her. So, yeah, I just appreciated Dwayne a lot and him leading us out and showing us we learn new skills, and the house isn't perfect, but it's wonderful. But my God moment involved Joey. He's Joe. But as well as the whole team that God put together to go down there. I was afraid I wasn't going to get down there. Last year when the flood happened, I didn't have the time off to go because of various reasons. And I was an emotional wreck all week. I told him, when you see me crying, just ignore me. I'll be all right. But because it was the anniversary of my mom's death, it was the flood, it was a new baby, it was Chuck's accident, it was, there's just a lot of emotion. But God put together a great team, and I don't know if it was Monday or Tuesday, Dwayne figured out that the electric box was wrong. They had put in a 110 instead of a 220. And so that box had to be changed out. Joe knew how to do that. Not many people are electricians and could do that. And so the power company came out on Thursday? Friday morning. Oh, it was Friday morning, you're right. But before that, Joe went to work. All the lights were laid out on the floor, the light fixtures, the lamp, the ceiling fans and everything. Joe did, he put everything in, the smoke detectors, the lights, the fans, the works. And then Friday morning, the electric company came and turned off, and I'm stealing your story, Joe, but you can tell it again. It'll be different coming from you. Turned off the electric. Joe went in there and replaced that panel, or whatever you call it, and put the correct one in. And so now it's ready for inspection and for the electric company to come back. And that was just such a true gift, I think, that if he hadn't gone, it wouldn't have been done. I don't think, anyway, that there's... So that was just... That was my God moment, I think, along with many other reasons, things, but I was glad. And, just blessed. Thank you to this congregation for getting it going and that we could go and make the way. And it was just a true blessing for me. And to see my friends come in the door and come to see me, that was really special. And to hear PR tell his stories and... Oh, priceless. And anyway, that's enough.
So me and Corey drove down on Monday because I just got off a night shift, so I wasn't driving, I was sleeping. But I was worked 12 hours Sunday night, but then we drove down Monday. So we got down there on Monday so I could go to bed again so I could get up Tuesday and start helping. So I was doing the electrical work. I did put outlets, switches, lights in the house. And then, on Friday, they had a 100-amp service, and the house really needed a 200-amp. So the power company, I was surprised they were able to get there that quick. But they told them on Tuesday, and they were able to get there by Friday morning to unhook the power. So I was able to tear it all out and put the right panel in. That took me most of the day on Friday. But I really enjoyed Twyla showing us around and telling us the stories and introducing us to people. That was really cool to see her stories and hear what the place was like.
I had been on a few MDS trips before. This one, it was more towards the finishing stage, finishing drywall and doing trim and all that. Several of the other ones I've been on was earlier in the process, framing and stuff. So learned some new skills with trimming and everything. I spent a couple days over at Lindbergh's house with Nelson and Corey and did a lot of mudding and a little bit of sanding there. And, it was interesting to hear his story, too, because he lives right beside the other holler where so there's several hollers that all come together, and there's water rushing down each and every one. So it all kind of converged at his place there, which made it worse. And it was interesting to hear his story, his account of that. Because in the middle of the night, upstream, up the holler, there was a culvert that was getting jammed up, and with fallen trees and everything. And it was just building and building up there. And then it finally got to the point where the jam couldn't hold anymore. And then there was just a big wall of water that came down through and took out all the houses. So, I spent a couple days working on his place, which freed him up so he could help several of the other people out downstream and upstream. I seen him going in his dump truck hauling fill to rebuild some of the culverts. Another part I enjoyed was the hiking in the evenings and having Twyla as our tour guide. Several MDS trips, and I never had someone in our group that knew the area like Twyla does, and so that was a bonus. She took us up to see the place where her brothers built a fort up on top of the mountain. That was cool to see. Couple neat places up on top of the mountain, and then the coal mines, and then she took us up then on Thursday night to see one of the homesteads up the next holler, so that was cool to see. Just sitting and listening to the homeowners tell their stories was very, very important to listen to them. And each one has a slightly different account, because each place it was a little different amount of water coming down through and different places and the way the water flowed through. And listening to some of Twyla's family, they have great storytelling and, good laughs through that. And just getting to know some of Twyla's family through all that was good. A verse that came to mind in all this was 1 John 3:17. It says, "If anyone has the world's goods, yet sees a brother in need and does nothing, how does God's love abide in him?" And we don't have to get in a car and drive 10 hours to go be the hands and feet of Christ. We can do that right where we are. So that would be my challenge for you all today.
I'll try and wrap things up here a little bit, but anyways, like you said, we left Sunday morning here to church. Thank you to Rose. She came Saturday and got stuff ready for the cafe and had iced coffee, so we took some of that with us. Thank you for that. But it was a good trip. To be honest, I was asked to be a leader. Most times when I go to the MDS, I don't tell people what I do because they want me to be a leader and they want me to do all kinds of stuff because I have the skills being a builder and everything. And I usually don't say anything because I want to be there and help the people there and do things the way they want to do it and just not have that. But I agreed to be a leader and it was a good trip. But there was a couple times before we left that I wasn't sure how it would go because I knew, if you ask my family, my kids, I am picky in how things are done, and I guess that's why I work by myself, because I like it done right. And then I knew, and I'm looking at the group that went, nothing against them, they were a great crew. And I was like, man, we don't have a lot of skills. This is going to be a rough week. I mean, I need to confess on that, but they did an awesome job. I thank you, each one of you, because we did things. A lot of them did things that they had no clue what they were doing. I'd show them and help them, and they did a good job. And it went well. We got a lot done that week. When we walked in the house Monday, there was two bathrooms that needed another coat, and we needed to sand pretty hard before we could give the final coat because it was pretty rough. And then they went and sanded the whole house. We painted it. And by the end of the week, it was all painted. There's still trim to finish up painting, but we had it all trimmed, the doors in, the floor was down in the whole house, the kitchen was in, all the lights, switches, receptacles were in that we had, the panel was changed. We did everything we could, and the house was soon ready to move in, and that felt good, and we couldn't do it without everyone. And we also worked up the road in a house and mudded that, and we had that all done except for the final coat. So we did a lot, and each one didn't complain, and hopefully I wasn't too much of a slave driver, but it was enjoyable working with them and showing. To me, that's a lot of God moments. No one was complaining what they're doing, even they had no clue what they were doing, and they did a great job. And that was a lot of fun for me, and it was a good week. Yeah, it was hard for Twala, and coming in Sunday evening, it was great for her to be alone because we could hear what it used to look like, and as a kid, when she remembered all this stuff, and it's not near like that anymore. So that was hard, but the team, when she had those moments, there was always someone there beside her, helping her through that. And that was special. That was God's moment. So thank you, Twala, for all that. Monday, I said we were standing, and then we primed the whole house, and we got done around 4, and the next house up, I said, let's just walk up there and see what we need to do at this other house or what stage it's in, instead of getting more paint out and getting started for a little bit before we had to head back for supper. So we went up to Lindbergh's house, and he wasn't there, but she poked her head out the trailer and said, he'll be right there with the key. It was locked. So we waited a little bit. He came, and we went in. He showed us around, and he started telling us his story. It rained 13 inches in about 12 hours period of time. It rained hard. I can never imagine how it was raining. At 1:30 in the morning, he didn't sleep that night. He was out taking stuff out of his barns. He had two barns there off to the side, right by the holler. The stream was on the other side of the road, and he was on this side of the road, but there was a holler coming down, and the barns were keeping the water going across to where the other stream was. He said 1:30, it was just so over the road. The stream, I'd say, was probably 4 feet below the road. But somewhere around there. So he was sitting on the porch because it was raining so hard. He just didn't want to get soaking wet. There was more stuff he wanted to move out of his barn. And all of a sudden he heard this noise. And that was 2:45, he said, this 8-foot wall of water came down that holler right beside him. The culverts up top there finally let loose, brought everything down, and there was a big old tree that took both his barns out. And that diverted the water right down the road, and that's what took the houses out right there. Pushed a couple of them right off the foundation. The one that we worked on was beyond repair that they tore down, and that's MDS Bittleman Newton. Down further, there was a brick home that pushed it completely off the foundation. The people were in the house. It was 2:45 in the morning. There was a number of people in their homes when they were pushed off. And this brick house was pushed off its foundation and turned it sideways, and they were able to get out. And we saw that red trailer that was pushed about 20 feet downstream where Lindbergh had went down after this wall water. That was the second rise when this wall water came down through. He went down in the water and rescued them. They were up to their shoulders standing in the trailer of water. And he helped them get out. It's kind of hard to believe that an 8-foot wall of water, but after we walked up that holler Thursday, I understood a bit more because that holler was really washed out. And we looked up and there were some big pipes and there was an area that I think is probably where it started, and it was really cut out. And it could have been an 8-foot wall of water, but I mean, when you have a wall of water like that, nothing stands in its way, and it was incredible, the damage. But anyways, so that was about an hour we talked with him, and then we came back and met Michael, and we're talking with them. And it's neat how, as the week went on, how they opened up to us, how she came over and was telling us, felt free. And there's a God's moments. And number of times she came over in the week, and her and Edwin, she liked to talk with Edwin because Edwin would kind of give it back to her. And that fed her all the more. And there's times I'd walk by and in the room and Edwin's standing there talking with her. I mean, that was neat to see. But as she went on, by the end of the week, she was bringing us candy and stuff. And then Thursday or Friday, she gave us some gifts. And it ain't we didn't go for gifts, but she gave number some ladies. She came with three boxes of plates and gave one to Heidi, Twyla, and Rosie that was there. And then Friday she brought a couple more boxes. There's a box over that I put in the cafe. That's what this plate is. We didn't need gifts. We don't really want them, the stuff she brought us. But as when I came home and thought about, you know what? She was giving what she could. Because like she said, like the story said, we painted the wrong room. That was my fault. I was told the first bedroom, and we got the paint from her, and we painted it. The next day is when she came in the house, and we were standing in the room. She didn't say nothing first, and she said, oh, I love this paint. This is perfect. After a while, she said, it's the wrong bedroom. My heart sank, and oh, man, she's got to get more paint because we got to paint the next room. So later on, I went out and I talked to her and I offered her money. I said, I will buy the paint. She wouldn't take it. No matter what I would do, she would not take it. And I soon realized that, hey, she wants a give back. Her thing was she has gift cards. She's got FEMA money and stuff that she wasn't really buying the paint. She had resources and she kept saying that God has blessed them so much and given them so much. They couldn't ask for anything more. So she gave us a lot of gifts and came back with more Friday, things we don't need. I think some of that will be distributed, Easter egg hunt, a big bag stuff full of animals that the kids are going to get. So the next few weeks, I asked Robin to use these for our cafe. So when you see the plates, that's going to be a reminder to the people in Kentucky. Like they said, they're scared. They have the fear when it rains. We heard that on Friday. Even the older people. When it it didn't rain much Friday. It rained a little in the morning, more at lunchtime, but it was a nice drizzle. But they have that fear because it rained hard and the damage that they and the things that they went through. So this will be a reminder for all of us. Especially those on the team, when you see the plates, you remember with the pictures and everything. But I think it can be a reminder for all of us as a church. Let's pray for those people. Another one was just experiencing the people and everything there. We soon realized that Twala's dad and family made a big impact on the people in that community. Most of them, they didn't come to church. But he was a community pastor, and they knew everyone in that holler from top to bottom, and everyone came to them when they needed prayer or support or whatever. They didn't come to church, but they knew who he was. So no matter what we do, people are watching, and we have an impact on people. So that could be a challenge for all of us. Also want to thank Chuck and Deb and Kelly and Carrie, the spouses that stayed home so that we could go. It wasn't always easy for them, but allowed the team to go, and it was a lot of fun. We did a lot, and I had some goals of what it would look like when we're done, and we met every one of them. And I wasn't sure beginning of the week if we could get it all done, but it was really, to me, that was fun, and the team really worked together. So God really put it and moved us, so yeah. All right. I'm the last one. Chuck, do you have anything, or what goes next? We're back to Cliff.